Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Welcome back. Today we're going to be dealing with chapter number 4, which is entitled Heading the Wrong Direction. The objectives of this lesson are, upon completion of this lesson, you're going to be able to write the key verse for memory. You'll be able to identify the non-biblical methods of seeking guidance. You'll be able to distinguish between false and true prophets of God and define the word emulations. Our key verse today is going to be found in Jeremiah 10:23, which says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Introduction. It is just as important to know how not to do something as it is to know how to do it. A great inventor in the United States named Thomas Edison conducted over 1,000 experiments which failed before he perfected the light bulb. When asked if he regretted all that wasted time, he said, No, I discovered over 1,000 ways not to do it. In the future, he did not have to waste time using methods which did not work. Now, in the Bible, God warns us of ways that you should not seek guidance for your life. If you heed these warnings, you will not waste time with non-biblical methods of guidance of which God does not approve, and this will prevent you from making bad decisions and heading the wrong direction in life. In the chapters, you will learn how God revealed His will in the past and how He speaks to men in present times, but first we must eliminate the negatives. These are the ways you should not seek guidance. The first one is the occult. Now, there are numerous satanic practices grouped under the heading of the occult, and many of these practices are used to determine guidance. Occult practices vary from nation to nation, but they include such methods as witches, shamans, sorcerers, magicians, fortune tellers, astrology, horoscopes, the reading of tea leaves, crystals, cards, and the palm of the hand. So, occult practices include any form of supernatural involvement which is not of God. Such practices are motivated by Satan. In Deuteronomy 18:9-14 and Exodus 22:18, God warned his people not to deal with occult practices, and you can read these warnings in those verses. Witchcraft is the practice of witches, including white and black magic, sorcery, astrology, voodoo, the use of potions and spells and enchantments and drugs. It includes all similar satanic practices and worship, and witchcraft and other such satanic practices are spiritual rebellion against God. We found that in 1 Samuel 15:23 it says, For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. The Bible records that sorcerers tried to turn people away from God, and that was in Acts 13:8. It says, But Elymas the sorcerer withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Witchcraft deceives people. Revelation 18:23 says, For by their sorceries were all nations deceived. Sorcerers will not enter into heaven. Revelation 22:15 says, For without are sorcerers. In other words, on the outside. The book of Revelation reveals that the end of those who use such satanic practices, it says in Revelation 21:8, But sorcerers shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. So no true child of God should be involved in any way with the occult practices for the purpose of guidance or really for any other reason. Methods of chance. Casting lots was one method of seeking guidance used in the Old Testament, and you can read about the use of this method in Leviticus 16:7-10, and also in Numbers 26:55 and 27:21, and also in Joshua 18:10. So the casting of lots was a method of chance. The belief was that God controlled the outcome of the lot which was cast. And casting of lots was similar to the rolling of dice or maybe flipping of a coin today. The method of seeking guidance from God was acceptable in the Old Testament. However, the only New Testament use of casting lots by believers was prior to the coming of the Holy Spirit. The apostles of Jesus were seeking to fill the vacancy left by Judas, who had betrayed Jesus and later committed suicide. So two candidates were nominated for the position. And that's found in Acts 1:26. It says, "And they gave forth their lots, and they fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles." Matthias, the man picked to replace Judas, is never again mentioned in the New Testament record. It is the Apostle Paul who actually fills the vacancy among the apostles. Matthias was man's choice by casting lots. The Apostle Paul was God's choice by the Holy Spirit. So after the coming of the Holy Spirit recorded in Acts chapter 2, the casting of lots was not used by believers as a means of determining direction. The guidance of the Holy Spirit replaced this Old Testament method. You should not use any method of chance to determine God's will. You must know God's will and be led by the Holy Spirit. Another method is fleeces. So there is one Old Testament record of which the use of something called a fleece was to determine God's will. You can read that story of Gideon's fleece in Judges 6:36-40. So God spoke to Gideon and revealed his will. To confirm what God said, Gideon put out a fleece of skin on the ground. One day he asked God to let the dew fall all around, but not on the fleece. On another day he asked God for dew on the fleece and for the surrounding ground to remain dry. Now, there is no verse in the Bible that instructs believers to do as Gideon did during this terrible national crisis, when great responsibility rested upon him. So this event only occurred once in the Bible, and as casting of lots was used only once in the New Testament, before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We are not to seek God's will by putting out a fleece. Modern putting out of a fleece is usually done by saying, "If a certain thing happens, then I will know it's God's will." But our fleeces are often things that could occur naturally. In one case, a fleece recorded in the Bible, Gideon already knew God's will. He had heard the voice of God, and the fleece was used as a confirmation, not for direction. It was also something that could be answered only by supernatural means. In the New Testament days, when Zacharias asked for a sign to confirm God's message about the birth of John, the Baptist, he was stricken dumb. This was because he did not believe the voice of God and sought a sign. And that's in Luke 1:18-20. Jesus said that an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And that's in Matthew 12:39. A fleece can be a sign of unbelief or unwillingness to do God's will. Fleeces which can be answered through natural means can be deceptive and misleading. On occasion, God has graciously answered those who have asked for some indication of what they should do by a fleece or a sign. And this practice, however, has been the exception rather than the rule for seeking guidance in the lives of great saints of God. So remember, God wants men of faith, not fleeces. He wants men and women who know his voice when he speaks and have no need to test it by confirming signs. Next, we have false prophets. The Bible records the stories of many prophets of God, and it reveals that God set leaders in the church known as prophets, and he explains that the spiritual gift of the Holy Spirit known as prophecy. And that's found in Ephesians 4:11 and 1 Corinthians 12:10. To prophesy is to speak under the special inspiration of God. It is a special ability to receive and to communicate an immediate message of God to his people through a divinely appointed utterance. The words spoken by a prophet under the divine inspiration are called prophecies. To prophesy means to declare openly words from God that exhort, edify, and comfort. In 1 Corinthians 14:3, it says, "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort." So prophecy never replaces the written word of God. The Bible says prophecy will cease, but the word of God abides forever. And that's found both in 1 Corinthians 13:8 and 1 Peter 1:25. So in the Old Testament, people went to prophets for guidance because the gift of the Holy Spirit infilling was not yet. It is no longer necessary to go to a prophet to receive spiritual guidance. This is one of the functions of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Each believer should learn to be led by God's Spirit. The New Testament gives no record of believers seeking guidance from false prophets. After the gift of the Holy Spirit was given, but God still uses the gift to confirm the future. You can study each example in Acts 21, 1 through 14. Agabus gave Paul a personal prophecy in that it was given specifically to Paul. Paul already knew knew what had awaited him in Jerusalem, and the prophecy only confirmed what would happen there. It was not a prophecy of guidance telling Paul whether or not to go to Jerusalem. The Bible warns of false prophets in the world, and you find that in Matthew 24:11, verse 24, Mark 13:22. Because of this, God has provided ways to identify true prophecies. And the Bible states in Romans 12:6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. The phrase in proportion to faith means in right relation to faith. The way to recognize true prophecies is by whether or not they are in harmony with the Bible. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:29, let the prophet speak two or three and let the others judge. So we are told to judge prophecies. The standard of judgment is the word of God. God has provided many ways to recognize false prophets. False prophets are known because what they speak does not come to pass. And we can find that in Deuteronomy 18:20-22, which says, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. You may want to go ahead and study the following references in your Bible, which explain other ways to recognize false prophets. 1 John 4, 1-3 says, false prophets do not confess the deity of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 2, 1-3 says, false prophets teach false doctrine. Deuteronomy 13, 1-5 says, false prophets lead people away from obedience to God's word. Matthew 24, 11-24 says, false prophets deceive people with miraculous signs. Matthew 24:23-24 says false prophets make false claims. And then also in Matthew 7:16 it says their fruit reveals their error. One of the best ways to distinguish false prophets from true prophets is to observe their lives. The Bible says that by their fruit you will know them. False prophets do not have evidence of spiritual fruit in their lives. So, because there are false prophets in the world, you must exercise caution in accepting prophecies. Prophecy often has been misused to direct and control believers. When a personal prophecy is given, it should be examined in the relation to the scriptures, and it should agree with the written word of God. In regards to guidance, prophecy should be confirming, not directing or controlling. And because of the misuse of the spiritual gift, some believers reject it totally. They will not accept the miraculous gift of prophetic utterance, but you should not reject the ministry of the Holy Spirit because you witness a few carnal examples in a human vessel. Another example is wrong counsel. No man can determine God's will for someone else except in matters specifically revealed in the Bible. For example, we know that it's God's will that all men come to repentance, for this is taught in Scripture. Spiritual counseling by godly leaders has a definite place in the guidance of a believer, but no counselor has a right to control another person or determine God's will for him in matters not dealt with in the Scriptures. When the Apostle Paul was determined to go to Jerusalem, his friends at Caesarea tried to prevent him from doing so, and they warned of the serious trouble that might befall him there. When Paul rejected their counsel and went to Jerusalem, they accepted his decision, stating, Acts 21:14, the will of the Lord be done. So they realized that even though it was their personal desire that he should not go, Paul must determine God's will for himself. So it's important that you come to know God's will for yourself. You cannot trust others to guide your life because there are evil spirits in the world whose intent is to deceive. We are warned in 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God." So when you receive counsel from another person, that guidance should be tested against other methods of determining God's will, which are going to be detailed in a later chapter in this study. So lastly, we have emulations. Emulation is listed as one of the works of the flesh in Galatians 5:20. The works of the flesh are various sinful conducts which are not pleasing to God. Emulation is a desire to copy others and equal or excel them. It stems from the spirit of rivalry and is a form of jealousy. Some believers emulate the successful ministries of others instead of seeking God's plan for their own lives. No two believers have the same work to do. The Holy Spirit calls people into specific ministries. In Acts 13:2, it says, "And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.'" So the Bible states that believers have differing spiritual gifts. We find that in 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 11. "There are diversities of gifts, but all these worketh the one and selfsame Spirit, dividing every man severally as he will." So although we are told to covet earnestly the best gifts in 1 Corinthians 12:31 and to desire spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 14:1, it does not mean that we are to imitate others. We have significant ministries, and when Peter was concerned about John's ministry, Jesus said in John 21:22, "What is it to thee? Follow thou me." So God gave Noah a plan for an ark. He gave Moses the plan for a tabernacle. He gave Solomon the plan for a great temple of worship. Nehemiah was given the plan to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. God has not told you to build an ark, construct the temple, or build walls around the city of Jerusalem, but God has a special plan for you. If you fall into sin of emulations and imitate others, you will miss his plan. When you pattern your life after the lives of others, you become engulfed by human tradition, and human tradition conceals divine revelation. So that's it for this lesson. Go ahead and do your chapter self-test and join me in the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.